This week, Mirtz Hashem, we read Parshas Para. Aside from the regular Kriyat Satorah, as Rav Eliyahu Kitov points out in source number one, the third of the four special Torah readings, Parsha Para, the portion that tells of the laws of the red heifer, is read on the Shabbat immediately before the Shabbos on which Parshat HaChodesh is read. Thus, if Rosh Chodesh Nisan falls on Shabbat, in which case HaChodesh is read then, and Mirtz Hashem will talk about that next week, that will be our fourth in this series of the four Parshios, Parshas Parah is read on the last Shabbos in Adar, which is this Shabbos coming up. On the that Shabbos, Parshas Parah is read, two scrolls are taken out, and the Maftir is read from Parshas Chukah. The reading was established sufficiently before Pesach, so even those who lived far from Yerushalayim and set out on the pilgrimage of Rosh Chodesh Nisan would be reminded that they had to become ritually, if they were ritually impure, they'd have to purify themselves. Although the Beit HaMikdash has been destroyed because of our sins, and we no longer have sacrificial offerings, not ritual purification, so as to be able to eat sanctified food, we nevertheless hold fast to the teachings of purification, and we study its precepts at the proper time. And we know the Talmud Yerushalmi relates, by right, Parshat HaChodesh should be read before Parshat Parah, for the tabernacle was first put into use on the first of Nisan, and only then, on the second of Nisan, was the Parshas Paraduma prepared. Nevertheless, we read Parshas Parah first because its subject is purification of Israel, which enables them to bring the Pesach sacrifice at the proper time. And we know that what is the point of the Paraduma? The Torah requires the use of the ashes of the Paraduma only for one who became ritually impure through contact with the corpse. One who became ritually impure through other sources becomes purified through the method specified in the Torah. So the idea of the Paraduma, of reading this section, is to remind the people in the times of Beis HaMikdash that they needed to purify themselves in order to bring the sacrificial Paschal lamb. And we, as a remembrance, read this Parsha every year before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, before Shabbos HaChodesh. The question we need to ask ourselves, and this is the obvious question, source 3. Gam yesh levayar enyan, shechazel tiknu lanu likro parsha para b'chol shana v'shana. Halo bavanotena rabim, ein lanu efer para litzaher bo. Umano gay lanu parsha zubitzman hazeh. What relevancy does this parsha have for our lives? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash right now. We don't have the ability to bring a Korban Pesach, so then why are we reading about how important it is to purify ourselves when it seemingly doesn't have any ramification for our lives? And this is the question that if we were to rephrase the question, what should we be thinking about during the Kriya, during the reading of Parshas Parah, as well as we've seen with Parshas Shkolim and Shabbos Parshas Zachor, what should we be thinking about the entire Shabbos that we have Shabbos Parshas Parah? It's not just the Kriya Satorah. It's living the Parsha. And how can we accomplish this? Before we, and again, many, many answers, but before we posit the approach we'll take today, let's keep in mind the following idea that Rav Biederman brings in Be'er HaChayim, where he says, HaKriya Ma'orer et HaTahara. The reading itself creates to some degree the Tahara, the purification. Vayidei kriyata kolpanim nita'ar tahara ruchanit lichvod haregel haba aleinu. The Maggid of Kushnitz points out in Avodas Yisrael that the reading of the Parsha, of Parshas Parah, creates a certain spiritual purity that prepares us for Pesach. So you're right. Technically, are we purified? No, we are not. But we have to, at some level, get ready for the exodus of Egypt. And every year we have to see ourselves as if we left Egypt. So there has to be, on some level, a spiritual purification that has to take place. The reading of Parsha Parah creates this spiritual reality that to some degree we have become purified this Shabbos. Omnam, Source 5, Koza, B'tanai Kodem L'maisa. She'amim b'emunah shleima, sh'nishmato mitzukekev, v'nita'arad ha'idei kriyat ha'parsha. You gotta believe in it. You got to, when you hear the Parsha, feel like I am being purified by these ashes of the Paraduma. As the Beis Aharon says, Sarech Lamin, Shekeshein, we have to believe, Shenit Arbe Efra Paramamish, Lakrovat HaPesach, You have to believe that just like if one were physically sprinkled upon the ashes of the paraduma, the red heifer, you would be able to be purified and bring the sacrificial lamb. Chmoche nitarim b'tzmanuzeh b'kriyas parashas para. Every person on the level they are on has to believe that they that there is some level of purification that is being created at this time. And we know, as is brought down in the end of Source 5 and Source 6, that from Purim through, you know, the holiday of Pesach, this 30-day period is a day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down and purifies us. It's a time of tremendous, like siyata d'shmaya, help from above, that we can work on becoming pure and spiritually elevated types of people. The Chalvan, continuing on this theme, speaks about how the four parshios together really form this level of tara, this level of purity, moving from the Rosh Chodesh Adar through Pesach. And he says they're really grouped, this is Source 7 and 8, two by two. You have Parshas Shkolim and Zohar, that they're linked together, and Parshas Para and Parshas HaChodesh, that they're linked together. What's the distinction between the two? So he says, the first shlav, the first step, is to be able to recognize that a person has Kedusha. V'nu'tza b'libat eish ha'kodesh l'nishmato. Havka'at Kedusha zu nasam Parshas Shkolim. First and foremost, you have to understand that we are holy. We spoke about at length in Parshat Shkolim that it's as if Moshe Rabbeinu is lifting up our heads, and we've become lifted up. We have this intrinsic Kedusha, intrinsic holiness within us that we need to recognize and be able to tap into. That's Shabbos Parshat Shkolim. What Zohar does is make sure that nobody infringes on that inherent Kedusha. That's Kedusha. The last two parshios, Para and HaChodesh, are Tahara. Once you've recognized that you are, one is, intrinsically holy, now you have to do something with that holiness. And that is, make sure you live a life of purity, which reflects the inherent holiness that you have. Hashlava ba lachar chasifat ha-kdusha atzmit. Once you've recognized and uncovered the inherent holiness, now we have to be hiovila kol marechet ha'chaim sheldam upi tara nishmato. It's not enough that the neshama is kadosh, is holy, but now it also has to be tahor, it has to be pure. And it's interesting, the dynamics, he notes in 8, that by Shabbos Parshat Shkolim, it begins with aseh tov, we're kadosh, then sur meira, then get ready, the negative parts that try to block our Kedusha Zohar. But by this duo of Parshas Parah and Parshas HaChodesh, we first start with the Sur Meirah, get rid of, purify, take away all impurity in us, and then Mirtz Hashem will speak about next week, we're able to elevate ourselves, the Aseh Tov, in the Parshas HaChodesh. And this dynamic is really what we say in this Leil HaSeder of Kadesh Urchat. First you have Kedusha, first two parshios, then Urchat. Then you can purify yourself, and then you can be able to work on Liskaber al Yisro, to be able to overcome our Yetzirah. Final idea before we begin our structure, that if we understand that Parshas Parah, reading the Parsha, creates a certain spiritual reality, and this spiritual reality is intended to create Tara, to create purity within us, and to be able to move to higher levels and dimensions in our Avodas Hashem, we need to keep in mind as well, as is noted in B'Magalot HaShana, the Torah of the Ashlag, of the Baal HaSulam in Source 10, Elo Tzrichim Ladat, Shematarat HaTorah V'Mitzvos Hu Lechanech Et Adam Latzeit Min Ahava Atzmit Shelo. What it means to reach a level of Tara, of purity, is very much about stepping out of self-love. Because when the Torah and mitzvot are done because of interesting egotistium, otherwise known as egotistical interest, that's an avodah pekuma. That's not the highest level of our service of Hashem. We have to be able to do what Hashem wants even if it's against our better interests, even if it's difficult for us. Rather, lo nashlet atzmenu, we can't fool of ourselves. We are so far from this. Usually when we do Torah mitzvahs, we ask ourselves, well, what am I going to gain from it? What pleasure do I get in this mitzvah? What do I gain? And that's a problem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us to become people, the end of 10, the Asherinam Poli Mitoch Minim and Yochim, that we're not motivated purely by egotistical and personal desires, but rather about Minim Shalavato Zulat. How can I help another person, even if it's going to be difficult for me? Ava Sam Makom, even if it's going to be loving Hashem, even if it's going to be difficult for me. And that's part of the dynamics of what Parshas Paro is about. Zos Chukas HaTorah. This is a chok. A chok is a law I don't understand, which means I am ready to do the will of Hashem, even if it's difficult for me, even if I don't get a geschmack from it. And as he notes here, to eat shalom on Shabbat, so that's not difficult. We all enjoy eating shalom on Shabbat. But not to take revenge when somebody insults me, well, that's a whole different thing. Zos Chukas HaTorah. We have to do this because Hashem commanded me, not asking ourselves each and every time, well, what am I getting from it? This is part of the Torah. This is part of the purity that we have to go through. Are we serving self? Or are we serving Hashem? And this is part of the larger rubric of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, that we're no longer avdim, we're no longer slaves to ourselves, but rather, Yitzhak Mitzrayim, we are extricating ourselves from the Meitzarim, from the narrowness that is found in our lives, and moving from avdim, avdei paro, to avdei Hashem, to be the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on His terms, not on our terms. And that is really what Parshas Paro affords us. It affords us to move outside of ourselves and to be able to begin working on levels of hierarchy in our Torah, in our purification, which enable us to have a closer relationship with Hashem and be able to do the mitzvos in a way of greater dveikus, of greater attachment to Hashem. Having said this, I'd like to try to suggest as our focus for today, how do we do this? What is Parshas Paro about? So I think the Nesiva Shalom, in one of his mamarim on Parshas Paro, really gives this to us in a very succinct way in Source 12. Achal pi hadvarim kriyas Parshas Paro, hi achon arishon lekrikas Chag HaPesach. It's the beginning of our ascent to the redemption of the Exodus of Egypt. Because we know Pesach is about freedom. And freedom means that I am not under the chumriyot, the physicality of this world. And the negative forces that push me and pull me to the base pleasures of this world. In order to reach this level, I have to, as we spoke about Sur Meirah, I have to use the ashes of the Paraduma. What do the ashes represent? The burning of the bull. It's about the burning of the physicality. That I leave the Me'avdus L'Cheirut, Mishiba L'Geula, because as long as a Jew is Shakur B'Chumriyot, V'Yeshut, as long as I am caught and I'm tied to the physical world and its pleasures, and I'm tied to the Yeshut, to the Enochiyut, to the ego and to the I, Harei Shakur B'Afela, then you're caught in darkness and it's very hard to leave. And that's why Vaidei Hachnata Chomer, it's being able to utilize the physical parts of this world. Obviously we're supposed to enjoy this world, but use the physical to elevate to the spiritual. I buy a nice outfit, it's for Shabbos Kodesh. I see a nice piece of food, I save it for Shabbos Kodesh. This is our challenge. And this is what Parshas Paro is about, the dark underline in 12. V'achana lazehi la'akor mirkirbo, Parshas Paro is about being able to uproot from ourselves et ha'chumriyot v'anochiyot, physicality and ego. My friends, that is our challenge. The challenge is not just to stand on Parshas Parah and say, okay, Hashem, I believe you're purifying me. And when I hear the Kriyas HaTorah, I believe that I'm becoming purified. That's one step. But one has to take the initiative where one feels like indeed they are being purified. One has to work on themselves, starting with Parshas Parah, and moving forward, not just one Shabbos, to this level where I am not caught in the physicality, I'm not caught in self, I'm able to begin pulling myself away so that when Pesach comes, I'm indeed, I can say I'm a free person. So now the obvious question, my friends, is, well, how do we do this? What should we be thinking about on Parshas Parah? What should we be working on practically that enables me to step away from the base physicality, what we call this year purifying passions, and be able to connect to Hashem? And further, how is this connected to the Kriyas HaTorah of Parshas Parah, of reading about the burning of this red cow, this Parah Aduma, and sprinkling its ashes on a person who become defiled with somebody who came in contact with a corpse? I'd like to suggest two approaches which have the same endpoint. It's both about purifying our passions. It's just coming from different angles, but again, the same upshot. The first approach is based on the Tosha Rebbe Zatzal in Avodas Avoda. And he notes that if the Parah Aduma is coming to purify one from Tumas HaMeit, from impurity of someone who died, so if you want to understand what the purification service and ceremony is about, albeit it's a chok we don't understand, this is just giving us some sense of being able to learn from it, then we need to understand death itself. And we need to understand the whole concept of man, of how he was created, and why he's buried in the ground when he dies. When we understand this, we have a better understanding of what the Tara, the purification process, is about, and a better understanding of what our challenges are about. So if we begin from the beginning of the creation, Source 13, we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as a punishment, Ki afarta velafarta shuv. You came from dirt, and you'll be returned to dirt. What is this understanding of that the fact that you came from dirt is the reason why you're going to be returned to the dust? And he notes in 14, Ki olam nivra b'arba yesodot. We know the world is created with four elements, fire, wind, water, and dirt, and earth. V'yesod ha'afar hiyoter chumri shebekula. Of the four, earth is the most physical of them all. And u'imenu barak HaKadosh Baruch Hu chomer gufo shel adam. As we know, man was created afar min adama. Our physical bodies were created from the afar, from the dirt. That is the most physical of all four elements. V'tachli mizah haita. Why did Hashem create us from this element? Kedei shadam ha'idei avodato. Our challenge, and the way Hashem originally envisioned the world, was through our avodas Hashem, yafoch af et koach ha'afar ha'yoter chomri l'avodat aparei. The goal is to take our physicality, and you can't get more physical than the earth, from the ground, and be able to elevate it to avodas Hashem, to be able to take who we are, and be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we know that atzlus and atzvus, sadness and laziness, are very much related to the idea of afar. We are pulled down to the physical part of this world. Look at any teenager on a Sunday, right? In those countries that have a Sunday where you don't need to get up a la bokeh, you know, bright and early. Where will a teenager sleep till? 10, 12, 2 in the afternoon. I don't need to get up. What's the rush? You know, let me just... That's the physical part of self. And our challenge is to be able to take that, you know, downward pull and be able to raise it up and say, no, yiskaber ka'ari, to get up, to do avodas Hashem, to, you know, to create something in each and every day that's given to us as a gift. And it's interesting that albeit the afar is the yesod of afar is atzlus, but it's also called Eretz. Vayikra, the arrow in 14, Vayikra Elohim LaYabasha Eretz. God called the ground Eretz, ground. Why is it called Eretz? Listen to this. Sheratzta laso ritzon kona, that it desires to do the will of Hashem. Ki afar archibolam atachton sharshom Eretz alyona, because even the earth down here, its shoresh, its source, is the upper world, which is pulled to do Hashem's will. And therefore, albeit that we have parts of us that are very physical, that pull us down to the physicality of this world, but there's another part of us equally powerful from stemming from the ground, which is Nichsaf Umishtokeg, La Rutzachar Kanova, La Tzot Kono in the bracket, to be able to run and do Hashem's will. And that's why, my friends, we feel so pulled betwixt and between in our lives. Oh, I really want to do this. Oh, I'm so tired, but I really want to do this. Why do we get into these types of challenges, which is normal and healthy? It's because we are pulled by two different elements. The gross part of the afar, the coarse part of the afar, drags us to the ground. But the Eretz that comes from, the afar that comes from Eretz, from the ground, from rats, to want to do the will of Hashem, there's a part of me that says, no, I want to get up, I want to do. And that's the struggle that we are in all of our lives. In the perfect world, had Adam HaRishon not eaten from the tree, and listened to Hashem, and not taken pleasure from the physical world to disobey God, then he would have lived forever, and indeed, he would have been able to elevate his physical self to the will of God, and the body would have listened to the soul, and we would have lived happily ever after, very similar to Eliyahu HaNavi, who lives forever. However, it didn't work out that way, and Adam allowed his physical part of itself, the pleasure, the eating, to be able to overcome the will of God, and now the body has succumbed to being a separate entity, and it has this ramification to it. Vabore 16, Baruch Hu Harei Chafetz Chesed Hu, V'choshe Machshavol L'Bolti Denu Menu Nidach. I give out, we have a problem now. The problem is that the physical body was meant to serve the spiritual, and it gave it that boost to be able to do it, but it didn't. It ate from the tree. It decided pleasure, personal pleasure, over will of God. Now what are we going to do? How can we create a rectification for this poor body that's disobeyed the will of God? L'chei machshavot, machshavot ve'etzod in 16, shafachar acheid afachar shegufo shal dam nikashen nitave ma'od, im kol zeh yevekochol zachech v'lotaher gufo. Hashem, in his ultimate kindness, said, well, albeit that you have, man, kind, has created this coarse body, and this physical body that has removed itself from spirituality, but nevertheless, we want it to be able to be purified. So what did Hashem do? Hashem said, when a person dies, and he brought death into the world at this point, let the body return back to the ground. Why? Rabosai, listen to this. It is, I personally found this very, you know, death is very sad, but this I found very uplifting in the sadness. Shekol davar, the end of 16, ha-mechubar la-karka eino mekabel tuma. Anything that's attached to the ground is not mekabel tuma, doesn't, it's not susceptible to impurity, right? That's why we take for the schach, things that are made of metal, things that are from the ground. Va'av davar shekvar nitulash mechiburo ba-karka. Let's say something grew from the ground, and now it was removed from the ground. If you replant it, then it loses its impure state. So, for example, you have, if you've taken something that was truma, that was tithe, and it became impurified, if you replant it in the ground, it now becomes pure again. Dizriatam bekarka zuhi taratam. The replanting creates its tara. And you see this as well, that by the waters of the mikvah, where the rainwater and the pure water be able to touch each other, right, again connected to its source, creates purity. Ki b'sherish kol davar e efshar lachul shum tuma. Because the source of everything, in that place, there is no impurity. Ki sham ein koach l'chitzonim v'kochar atuma lishlot. Because there, the negative outer forces don't have any rule. U'b'prat b'sherish ha'afar. Specifically with the ground, Shusharish Kadosh Beyoter Meretz Elyona, because its source is really from the upper world, that it wanted to do Ritzon Hashem. And now I understand, my friend, why is it that Adam, mankind, has to die, and why is it that they are planted in the most beautiful sense, why are they buried in the ground? Because this enables their tikkun. By being planted back in the ground, they now reconnect with their shoreth. We come from the ground, kima afarata. We asked that question, why is it mentioned in the pasuk? You come from the ground and you return to the ground. Because the ground is where your shoresh is, where your root is. And when you return to that place in the ground, you have now been able to re-purify yourselves and come back to your shoresh. Wow. That gorgeous, my friends. And that's why in 18b, Kimimena Lukachta, de Kevan Shimena Lakachta, because you were taken from the ground, and that's your Shoresh, therefore you have to return there, Litaher Chomer Haguf, to be able to purify your physicality. That's the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we look at, and this is a beautiful piece in its own right, we look at a burial. You know, it's a very, very, stark imagery of putting the, you know, anyone's been to a funeral, putting the earth on a person. You know, it almost looks like that finality, it's over. But to a real degree, it's such a beautiful imagery. It's as if you're replanting the body again, so that the body can be replanted with holiness, and be able to purify itself. It's coming back to its roots. It's coming back to its source. So the neshama purifies itself in heaven. The body repurifies itself in the ground from where it came. And together at Tchias HaMetim, they then have a perfected form that is able to live at the time of the resurrection. What does this all have to do with the Paraduma? Ubozen Navo 19, Levayar Inyan Hazan Efra Paral Tumat Meit. What's the idea of Tuma? The idea of Tuma is that a person has come in contact with these forces of impurity from a person who's died. What do we want to do? When you've come into contact, so part of you has become, you know, brought down to this earth of impurity of that needs to be elevated. So we take the para, and the para represents Kabbalistically the idea of Bechinat Ima, idea of the mother, which is returning back to the higher self, returning back to our Shoresh, and we take from the Efer HaPara, we take from the ashes of the para. What is ashes about? So he says that when something is burnt, so the elements of the Ruach, the Eish, and the Mayim all go up into the smoke, and that's brought back, the elements going back to its origin. The afar part, the earth part of this concoction, is the ashes that we see. The ashes represent the afar, and indeed, you have, within Parshas Parah, it says, V'lechola tamei me'afar sreifat achatat. It calls the ephir, the ashes, afar, dirt. Sprinkling the dirt on a person is giving them that little bit of ability to reconnect back to Afar, back to the sense of Shoresh, so that a person who's come in contact with someone who's died and has brought themselves down, so to speak, can now be elevated by not burying the person in the ground, you're alive, but by enabling you to tap into, to touch, some element of earth, some element where the four elements, three of them go back up to its origin, and the afar stays down here, and this, with the whole idea of what Parah and Ima is about, you're able to be purified, you go through a tshuva process. Now, granted, my friends, this is a bit esoteric, but I want to bring it down now, 21. So if you've lost me, come back home, 21. B'chei b'chol shana b'shana. Kasher anu korim parshas parah, says the Tosha Rebbe, every year when I read parshas parah, mitarer koach haskula shitbir HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzvah sapara. Hashem implanted the mindset of the mitzvah of parah. Shemitarer shorish ha'afar shemenu nivra gufol shalotav. You know what's awakened in parshas parah? What's awakened is the fact that I come from the earth. Asher mitzad sharasho gam ha'guf nimshach ha'ritzon kono. And there's a part of me that comes from the earth that's eretz, rat, that's mishtokek, that desires to connect to Hashem. And therefore, when we read the Kriyas HaParsha, it's not just, oh, I want to be purified. It's more than that. Nichnas v'adam koach v'old. There is a great spirit and strength. Shiuchal levatel v'lachof gam gufo achumri aritzon neshama. When we read Parashas Parah, and we read about the purification, what it inspires within a person is that I want to take my physical being and elevate it to the spiritual. I want to connect to the higher part of myself. And I want to overcome that part of me which is pulled to the negative passion, to atzvos. The parts of the afar that lead me to laziness and sadness. And that's the point of Parshas Parah. One word, inspiration. Shalom li ja'esh bavadato. Not to become despondent. That even if you see that you're trying to overcome the taiva, there's so much taivas in our world that we're living in. There's so many passions and desires, whether it's in technology, whether it's in media, whether it's in food. You know, you can have every aspect of food you can imagine. You know, I got from Mishloach Manos every year from one of the organizations that I work with, Belgium chocolate. So my kids are like, you know, what's the difference between elite chocolate and Belgian chocolate? And I say to them, if you can't tell the difference, then don't touch the Belgian chocolate. It's wasted on you. So my daughter today said, well, Ima, if you love Belgian chocolate so much, maybe we should buy it for you all the time. I said, no. Belgian chocolate on Purim is Purim. Belgian chocolate all year is just stem taivas. You're right, elite chocolate will be fine for all year. Like, there's a point where, you can eat Belgian chocolate every day, all right? You get the imagery. But we don't eat Belgian chocolate all day. We save it for Purim, right? We are able to take the physical, and we're able to elevate it. We're able to contain it. We live in a world, and I'm using this as an imagery now, of Belgian chocolate, where we can indulge in kosher Chinese and kosher Japanese and kosher, I don't know, whatever kosher cuisine, French, whatever you like. Sky's the limit. These are the challenges. And again, we're supposed to enjoy this world, but not to be a novel, Parshas Satara, not to overindulge. Parshas Parah is about being able to work on our taivas, our desires, and part of that work, my friends, is our midos raos, that our taivas, our desires, can very often are linked to negative midos. And we have to be able, and that's what Paraduma is about, to come to our shorash, to come to our essence. The Efer HaPara reminds us, when we're sprinkled with those ashes, when we're sprinkled with that dirt, return to the Afar, return to that part of you that wants to connect to a higher part, to the Neshama, to be able to utilize my being in this world in an elevated sense. Not to be an animal, not to go after my animalistic desires, my temper, my anger, but to be able to live a spiritual, godly type of life. And that's our job. In 22, to begin to slowly wean ourselves away from just pleasure, 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 to be able to bring spirituality into our world. And that's what the Nesiva Shalom was saying. The churios, the physicality, that's the tara, to be able to purify ourselves. And it begins with being inspired. It begins with listening to Parshas Parah and feeling as if those ashes are being sprinkled on me. And it's saying to me, return back to your shoresh, Return back to your root. Return back to the Eretz, the Retz, the desire to do the will of God. Return back to the whole concept of death, where it came from. It came from the fact that we weren't able to elevate the body. And why are we buried in the ground? Because we need to purify that physical body that we have gone astray with in our lifetime. And this was also the aspect in Paraduma of what the Nesiva Shalom spoke about as well, of Enochiyot, of ego, which we also have to work on this Parsha 23. Rabbi Miller, Yom Tov Shirim, Parsha Parah contains within the means for rectifying the defilement caused by contact with the dead. Death came to the world as a direct result of the sin of Adam. The root of his sin, as expounded by Rashi, was his self-assertiveness. As Rashi explains on the word, V'yitem kelokim, and you will be godlike, Yotzer Olamos, creator of worlds. Each individual has within him a deeply embedded desire to be actively involved in acts of formation and creation. This actually springs from the wish to assert his own independence. Man, being an entity distinct from his creator, establishes a sense of his own worthiness. It is impossible for any creature to truly internalize the concept that there's none other besides the Almighty, Ephesulato. For ultimately, one feels that he himself, too, possesses an individual, independent identity. This is the origin of man's pride and self-exaltation. The self-assertive and proud person always feels himself restricted and out of place. In every situation, he's not at home. He remains a stranger. Rectification, this can be achieved through the hyssop. As Rashi explains, that is the lowly type where you have to be able to recognize where you are in your lives. That's it. Paraduma comes again to rectify death. Death came into this world through the sin of Adam, which about self-assertiveness. That I am, and I can, and I will. The Paraduma is about taking that lowly hyssop and being able to realize you may be, but you also have to know your place as well. And that is how we achieve atonement. Now I can understand the 24b, why we dafka read Parshas Parah on Shabbos. She'az nikal yoter la'adam l'dabek atzmo l'shorosho shumenu nitzar v'dovra. Ki b'shabbat hi eid aliyata olamot l'mala. V'chol habru'im chozrim l'shorosham ha'olyon kayatua. You know what Shabbos is about? Shabbos is about the entire world goes back to its origin. Even the Gufa Chomri Choser L'Shorosho Shorosh Kadosh V'Menu Lukach. And therefore, since Shabbos is a day about going back to our origin, the entire world goes back. The world stops, you know, working in its own dimension. It goes back to the Shoresh. As the Rechaim HaKadosh says that every week, Hashem recreates the week. Every Shabbos is a recreation. Everything goes back to its origin. We go back to our origin. On Shabbos, which is the day of the Neshama, a day of the soul, the Neshama Yaseira, that we're able to eat in a way that's expansiveness of spirituality in the physical world. That is a tool to enable us to reach this. It's not just the Kriyas HaTorah. It's Shabbos, Parshas Parah. On Shabbos, the koach of Shabbos itself, the power of Shabbos, is to bring me back to that level. And that's why on the Shabbos, what is our avoda on the most basic level? It's twofold. The Or Gedaliahu. One level is the Or HaMitzvah Shel Paraduma, 28 of Gedaliah Shur. The Inyan HaBitul Kafar, L'Ratzon HaShem Yisbarach, to be like the dirt, to be, have bitul, to be able to nullify ourselves. That the whole idea of the Paraduma, the whole idea of Afar, is to be able to nullify ourselves to Hashem's will. Sarich Adam 28b, La'achin atzmo liyo ra'ui l'kabel ruach ha'tara. We have to be ready to accept this spirit of purification, and the way to do that is Ayidei Bitov Achnal, or it's on Hashem Yisbarach. That's what we don't understand what Paraduma is about. I'm able to nullify myself to the will of Hashem. And this is the ability to nullify myself to the will of Hashem. And that Hashem, you're the one in charge. It's not about me. It's not about, well, what do I get from this mitzvah? Well, I enjoy this mitzvah. I'm going to do this one. Oh, this one really doesn't speak to me. I'm not going to do that. No. then you're open to Lev Tara Brali Elohim, Latara Shel Neshama, the Neshama Shatata Bitaharahi. So the first job on this Shabbos is to be able to open ourselves up to say, I'm here to be an Eved Hashem. I'm not here to serve myself. I'm not here to take a look at the mitzvot as a checklist. Well, these speak to me, these don't. Oh, these are so hard. Oh my gosh, this is so impossible. Do you know how long the davening is? Oh, forget it. Do you know? No. It's to be able to say, Hashem, I recognize that you are the one who's the creator of this world. And I'm ready to nullify my will to your will. I don't understand this mitzvah. I don't get a geschmack out of this mitzvah. It doesn't speak to me. It's difficult for me. All of the above, check whatever box you want. I'm doing it anyway, b'simcha. Because I know the world, albeit created for me, is for me to serve you. And I'm ready to do it with all the difficulties that it's going to entail. Right? So when I have that Shabbos guest who's a little bit uncomfortable, who makes comments that are a little bit inappropriate, I say, Hashem, it's not about me. It's about you. And this is imitating you. And I'll do it b'simcha. And we get the idea. And the second idea on this Shabbos of Tahara is to be able to work on limiting or containing our taivas, our desires. That I don't have to have everything all the time, whenever I want. And I can allow my nidos to reign wild, however I feel like it. I can yell at anybody and I can do this to anybody. I'm able to have this control, going back to my shoresh. And again, says the Avodah Ravodah, and this is so crucial. Amru Chazal Gemara Rosh Hashanah, tafasta ruba lo tafasta. You take on too much, it's as if you've taken on nothing. Rak tafasta muat tafasta. Ki rak ha'idei avodah b'ma'at ma'at. You got to work on this slowly, one day at a time. Even if you don't feel there's any difference, because they still seem to be in their full glory, slowly, slowly, you'll be able to see success in that which you are doing. And this is it, my friends, to say, okay, I'm going on a diet where I will never eat, or I will never indulge in, fill in the blank, you're not going to be successful. If you say, in this one area, I am going to curtail. You know, one day a week, I'm not going to have. 1 hour a day, I'm not going to. Then you're going to be successful. The imagery Rabbi Biederman brings in 32 is to make a makel l'gagecha. When you make a house, you make a fence around your roof. Making a fence means that you are able to move up a little bit, fence yourself in. Make sure you've conquered what you've conquered. If you don't, then you're like a fool. Right? So for a person, we know this with diets, to say, okay, I'm never eating X again. Well, you're going to eat X 9 times out of 10, 8 times out of 10. And then you're going to feel like, oh, I'm such a failure, I'll just give up the diet. Again, if you limit it, so you take a piece of cake and you split it in two, and you say, I'm just going to eat half this cake, and half the cake I am putting back. I'm giving to somebody else. I've limited it. It's not off. Okay, I've done that for a while. Now I take that half a piece of cake, and I cut it again in half. And I now give a half and a quarter, which is 3/4 away, and I take 1/4. I'm never good at fractions. I can't go beyond that in cutting this cake. You get the idea, the eighth, the, okay. And that way, slowly, slowly, you're able to overcome the desires. And again, when I use Belgian chocolate and cakes, it goes for everything, right? You want to, you know, wean away from a certain site or a certain news or a certain, you know, so I don't read the whole thing. I just read part of it. And then from that part, I read another part. And slowly, slowly, we get the idea. That, my friends, is level number one. Let's summarize what we've seen, and let's take briefly at level two, or aspect two, really. Parashas Parah, why do I read it? We don't have a Parah Duma today. You're right, we don't have a Parah Duma today. It's not just, okay, you know, they read it then, so we read it, so we remember how they read, how they, it were, it's a call for people to have purification, so we, it's a ceremony of remembrance. No, It creates a reality. It creates a spiritual reality if we walk in with a spiritual reality. If we walk in saying that this Shabbos, I want to work on purity. This Shabbos, I want to feel like I have that Lev Tahor Brali Okim, that God has implanted in me and recreated in me a new spirit. We have the ability to do that. This is our jump start toward Pesach. This is our ability to find that higher spiritual connection. This is our ability to begin to extricate ourselves from that Mitzrayim, those Mitzrayim, those desires that are keeping us entrenched in the physical world that obviously block us from the spiritual world. The more time I spend in these physical pursuits, the less time I have in the spiritual pursuits. A, B, it makes me a much coarser person and takes away and dulls the sensitive part within me. What do I need to do? I need to be aware that the reading of the parsha inspires me to be a different person, to work on one level, the Nesivah Shalom, on Chumriyut and Enochiyut, to work on being able to overcome the physical passions, to realize, as the Baal HaSulam says, that I'm here to do the will of God and not my own will, and to break that Enochiyut, that ego. I am inspired by the Paraduma, which is the taking of the afar, which has a connotation of humility, with the hyssop, the agudat ezov, which is definitely the lowest of plants, humility. And that's a rectification for Adam Arishon, who felt like, you know, I want to eat. I want, the world of I, on this Shabbos, to try to limit. I want, and therefore I'll get. I said, and therefore you have to do. To try to limit that I, to ask Hashem for help. This is a day of purification where I'm ready to humble myself. And part of that, as we mentioned, is to do the will of God and mitzvot because Hashem commanded me, not because I necessarily enjoy it or it's comfortable, to do the whole will of God, whole kit and caboodle. The second aspect is to try to limit and to try to curtail and to begin the process of a little bit less of the passions, the desires, the negative midos, to be able to go back to my shorish, my root, which is afar, again in the positive sense, of eretz, of rats, of wanting to do the will of God. The second idea is based on a very long essay in Likutei Mamarim of Rav Pinchas Friedman in Shvilei Pinchas, and I just highlighted a number of the ideas here. It's a very long essay, and again, the same upshot from a whole different perspective. He brings the Medrash, let's do it in English, in 34. May my heart be perfect in your chukim. These are the chok of the Pesach and the chok of the Paraduma, since they're similar to each other. One verse says this is the chok of the Pesach. Another verse says this is the chok of the Torah, referring to the Paraduma. We do not know which chok is the greater. This is comparable to two stately matrons who were similar in their ways. Who was greater? One fell behind the other and accompanied her to her home. The one who was accompanied was surely greater. So too the word chok is used with both the Pesach and the para. However, the para is surely greater, since one needs it, its ashes, to be spiritually fit to consume the Pesach offering. But you see from this medrash in Shmos Rabbah that there's some connection between Zohar Chukat HaPesach and Zohar Chukat HaPara, that in some level the Korban Pesach and the Para Duma are linked. And we don't even know which one is greater. So we have to come along and say, well, one is needed for the other, so therefore Paraduma is greater. What was each one about? So we notice in 35 that the Korban Pesach was about L'takei Mashishak'u Yisrael B'tumah Mitzrayim L'avod Avodah Zorah L'tleh. It was to be able to get rid of this idea of mazalos, of the zodiacal signs, that they have a certain power, a mazal, a certain koach, and that to be able to realize that the only power in this world is God, right? The Tleh, the sheep, is the zodiac sign for Nisan. We take that very sign and we shecht it in front of their eyes to show that whole realm of Avodah Zarah, of worshipping, this foreign worship of the zodiacs and the sign, is false. Only Hashem exists. What was the Paraduma about? So we know the Paraduma comes, and we spoke about this at length of last year, I believe, to atone for the sin of the Chet HaEgel. But the Paraduma is the counter to the Chet HaEgel. What was the Chet HaEgel about? What was the sin of the golden calf about? So we know that it was also about Avodah Zarah, it was also about idolatry. But while the Korban Pesach was about to obliterate the fact of the mazalos of the, you know, zodiacal signs, and this is an interesting insight, the Avodah Zarah of the Egel Zahav is exactly the way it sounds, Zahav, gold. And in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's brought down in the Medrash at the beginning of first Pasuk in Sefer Devarim, Dizahav, Kach Amar Moshe L'Tzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, because you gave them so much Kesef and Zahav, Ad Shamru Dai, Hu Garam Shasu Et HaEgel. The reason why they made this Egel HaZahav is that you gave them a lot of gold and silver, and they liked it, and they wanted to have more of it. And this is what it means. Eile Elohech Yisrael Shailucha Meretz Yisrael. Bishvil Kesef HaZahav Shishbat Elam Yisrael Ad Shamru Dai Hu Garam Shasu Et HaEgel. This is the God that gave you all of this gold and silver, and this is the God that will continue to give this. And that's why this Pinchas goes on to say they made it specifically in an Egel, which is the bracha of Yosef, and Yosef was the one who sustained the world. It's very much a sign of bounty, and the sign that it's on of the Merkava that they saw was also a sign of bounty. Kishara Shachet Shal Siyav Egel Zahav, the asterisk in 37, Lo Haya Elavar Zahar Shal Rudifa Achrei Betza V'Rechush She'Holam Hazeh B'Fchinat Egel HaZahav. What they really wanted was not just to put a person in place of Moshe. What they were trying to do was induce more gold and silver in this world. My friends, this is why we are punished each and every time a punishment comes, a little bit from Chet HaEgel. We're not worshipping the Egel HaZahav now? Perhaps not. But we're worshipping something very similar. And we see this, the Pasuk in Devarim tells us, you know, lest you build great houses and you forget that Hashem is the one who's given all of you these things. And you've attributed it all to yourself. When you are running after the gold and the silver and you believe that you can get all this gold and silver, and it's not about Hashem, it's not about Hashem allots to whomever he allots it to, but that you have the ability and capacity to increase your wealth because of your genius, etc., you've touched on the sin of the golden calf. And Rabbi Elimelech Meluzhin says that Ki Av Shebitlu Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the end of 38a, Hayetzer Shel Avodah Zarah, even though the inclination for idolatry has been destroyed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the Great Assembly, Ulam Lo Nifatel Legamrei, it wasn't destroyed completely. Ki Redifat HaMamon VaOsher Hi Avodah Zarah B'Yameinu, running after wealth and more physicality, and I want more, and I want more, and I need to have more. That's the Avodah Zarah Satra Belimelech Muljins, and no Melimelech of our generation. So we have here, my friends, now I understand in 38b, why the Paraduma came to be a rectification for the Egel Zahav. Because the Paraduma was something that cost a tremendous amount of money. And by willingly paying for this amount of money, that's an atonement, saying, I am using my money for the service of Hashem. And he ends this essay by saying, what does it mean that the Egel HaZahav, that the Paraduma is greater than the Korban Pesach? Because the reality is, the Korban Pesach, the zodiacal signs, we don't have today. That's not around. But the desire for money, we have that on a Yom HaZeh. That's the idea, he says, of Kochi v'otzim yadi. Kochi, the Koach is a mazel. It represents the energy in the spiritual forces. So when we say to somebody, mazel tov, to a large degree, what we're saying is Koach tov. You should have a lot of strength. You should have a lot of, energy. That's the mazel tov, a lot of energy. That's the Kochi. That's the inyan of the Korban Pesach, but try to outdo the zodiacal sign of the sheep. Otzim Yoti, the strength of my hand, that is still running among us. That's the Egel HaZahav, and that's the Paraduma that we have to read each and every year to try to counteract that. That is what is going on this week's Parsha. It's to remind ourselves by reading the Paraduma, let the mother come to atone for the child, that we need atonement each and every year as we get ready for Pesach, as we leave the land of Egypt, to remember that all this wealth that we have and all the physical things we have in this world are gifts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that to really be able to be free means that I am not subservient to them. Let's look at two final ideas and we'll summarize. Rabbi Friend in print, when they got the great wealth in Egypt, the Pasuk says, V'sha'alu isha mishchenka, let each woman ask, borrow from her neighbor. Why borrow? They weren't going to give it back. Hashem stressed that their money did not belong to them. That's the borrowing. All that wealth was borrowed from Hashem, to whom all gold and silver ultimately belongs. The message that all we possess belongs to Hashem is reiterated in numerous mitzvahs in the Torah. You have this by Shemitah. You have this by so many of the ideas of Yovel. It belongs to God. Once we recognize that we're not the real owners of our wealth, our perspective is radically changed. If we really believe that we hold the money in trust for Hashem, our first question concerning all our wealth must be, what does Hashem want me to do with this? And when we ask ourselves that question, then we understand that we can't use it on things that are inappropriate for the spiritual world or that are nevar b'shus Torah, that go above and beyond. So when we read Parashas Parah, when I read about that this is the counter to Egel HaZahav, I have to take an inner look inside myself and be honest with myself and say, do all that I have, am I utilizing it for Hashem? And it's just two sides of the same coin of the Tosha Rebbe. The overindulgence is as well as that introspective look. Do I need to have all of this? You know, one of the most beautiful things is somebody in our community collects how am I going to put it nicely? I don't want to use the word junk because it's food. The sugary part of the Mishloach Manot with all the food coloring and chemicals. That's a good way of describing it. And packs up 600 bags from Beit Shemesh to give in Shushan Purim, Yushalayim, to Yesomim and Yesomos, to orphans, so that they, you know, spend the whole night taking all this food, repackaging it, and it's used for these people. And I said that to my kids last night. I said, do you need to have, you know, 7 bags of Cheetos? No. 1 bag of Cheetos is sufficient. 6 bags, let's get rid of them. To be able to, and again, Cheetos is like the Belgian chocolate, right? It's a model. It's like the cake. We don't need all of these things. There are people who can better appreciate them. To make a smile on the face of one of these children, wow, amazing. It's all perspective, my friends. Para Aduma is purifying our passions to create perspective. And I'd like to end with Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein in his Sefer on Agadah, which we've looked at a number of times. He says, this is 42, the standard blessing for new couples setting up a home is that they may build a bayis ne'eman b'Yisrael, a faithful house in Israel. What exactly does this mean? No one really knows. And he has a great sense of humor. He writes, in parentheses, hopefully means at least that the person who bestows this blessing has almost finished speaking. End the parentheses. In truth, the blessing is that the house remains faithful to what a house should be for, a base from which to live a meaningful Jewish life. Being faithful, quote-unquote, to that idea means that the house serves it and doesn't develop into an entity which itself needs to be served. The common term for a layperson is a balabas, which literally means owner of a house. Someone who succeeds in truly owning their house and not being owned by it is indeed worthy of praise. To be sure, a Jew needs to be occupied with matters of this world, but preserving the distinction between being occupied and becoming preoccupied is crucial for meaningful Torah life. And that's really the bracha, I think, in Parshas Parah for us, to build a bayis ne'eman b'Yisrael, a faithful home. We are not slaves to our passion and to our home, where I need to have the latest and the greatest gadget and this and that because everyone else has it. I'm able to be the balabas. I'm able to be the master of the home. And I can decide this is appropriate, this is not appropriate. Everyone has it? Great. We don't need it. Is it going to enhance my avodas Hashem? Is it going to bring me to a greater spiritual level of connection to Hashem? These are the questions we need to ask ourselves. So you're right, my friends. Right now, as it stands, we don't have a paraduma. Things could change at any minute, and things are about to change. You feel it in the air, right? It's ot. Mashiach is here. And halavai, we should have a paraduma. But lu yitzuyar, if we could imagine, we're not going to have a paraduma by Shabbos. You know what we will have? We will have the feeling of Tahara, that when we read this parasha, and we leave Shabbos, which is a different dimension of going back to our Shoresh, I feel connected to a higher level. I feel connected to that part of Eretz, of Tiberats, Lishtoke, to desire and run, to do the will of Hashem. It's a Shabbos that I am able to channel those passions to how can I serve the spiritual part of self. How can I work on my midos for the spiritual part of myself? How can I be mevata myself? How can I nullify my will, my needs? How can I not focus on, look how great I am, Otzim Yadi, look how strong I am, look how much I've accomplished, look how much I have, look how much I need. And once I'm able to begin this process, ad, slowly, cut that cake in half, cut that half in a quarter, slowly but surely I am beginning the ascent to be able to come to the level where we're not slaves to Paro, we're not slaves to ourselves, we've come out of the Mitzarim, the narrow straits, and comes Pesach, we truly become Avdei Hashem, the servants of Hashem in its totality.